Her form is particularly bad. And he's like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hubbada, hubbada, hubbada. Awooga. Oh, yo, 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 yo. Welcome, applauders. My name is Naomi McQuaid.
And I'm Lydia Malcolm.
And I'm Jen McQuaid. And you know what movie we're doing because you clicked on the thing. You wonderful, wonderful person.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, which is a very fast and furious title.
Yeah, it seems like the S's should be replaced with sevens or something.
Yes.
There's a movie called Seven, right? Yeah. With the numbers replaced.
Yeah. Yeah. So just like we need to take that movie and mush it into this one. Yeah.
And the word four should be the number four.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So
this was Maddie's pick, and I don't hate it. I mean, like, this is a movie that I came to because of the King County Library system.
Oh.
Yeah, because this was back when I had a library card. And I'm like, I'm looking for anything that's going to be fun. I was like, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I guess this is going to be fun.
And was it?
Like, I'm trying to remember how I felt about this movie as a teenager. And I have a note. Oh, there we go. Yeah, like in the third act, I have a note that talks about, like, this movie explains some things.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I came to this movie by way of Madeline, 20, like, how long ago was 1998?
That would have been, like, 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So when Sean from Sean Facts went away to college, I started hanging out with Madeline a lot. And she's like, oh, she had all these VHSs because that's how old I am, applauders. And she was like, oh, I got a movie you've got to see. So in her room, laying on her bed, eating cheesy pretzel bites, which are one of my favorite vices, we just watched it and I unironically loved it. It was it was so long ago and I've changed so much. So watching it this time was like, how was I taking this in as a teenager? I honestly do not know.
So what about me?
Yeah, Jen, what about you?
Today was how many days old I was when I first watched this movie.
Okay, applauders, we forgot the SD card at our place coming over to record with Lydia. And so we just started the movie. Jen's like, I'm going to miss like 20 minutes, but I don't want to make the recording take too long. And Lydia and I were both like, no, we'll wait. And just watching you take in the movie for the first time was a delight.
Yes.
I probably, I have some small remembrance of this probably being on the background at my grandmother's house because she watches musicals all the time. So, but honestly, when Madeline announced that this was the movie we were going to see, I thought this was a period piece, like in
like some sort of King and I situation, or
like more like a British period piece.
Oh,
and
it's
had
not
no
that
idea of the plot, and I thought it was like Mr. Darcy and his friends, gentlemen friends, have to go and find something.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
Did you? We've never done a period piece.
Once I saw, when I saw the photos that Madeline sent us so we could guess what movie it was, I thought it was probably the Music Man. Or something.
Hello, Dolly.
Yeah. Guys and Dolls. No.
Nope.
No, it is not one of those things.
Applauders, we are joined again today by Wonder Boy, who may be clink clunking around. So if you hear a thud or we stop and talk about turtles, that's why.
Mm-hmm. And we may just, you know, kind of let go and be a little bit more relaxed with this episode anyway, because we are Applauders. We are going on a hiatus for most likely 6 months. So if you are an official Applauder paying us whatever amount you're paying, pretty sure, Lydia, you are the top Applauder for sure. Most of us just put in the $1. But we will be unpublishing our page, which our Patreon page, which will should freeze your subscription. If it doesn't, this is the month that you would want to go in and make sure that, you know, your subscription is paused. So please do maintain or manage your Patreon account and make sure that you are all set up for next month, even though we're going to do everything on our side that we can to make sure that you're not giving us money for content we are not producing. Any other things we want to mention on the hiatus side?
Thank you for letting us take time off. Life just kind of gets a little bit crazy. So, and you know, we will probably see you fully in next year.
And that's the end of the episode. So we'll see you in like 6 months. Get a tan.
Yeah, you got some sobbing women over here that we have to take a break. But I think I think we all started this podcast with the agreement that if for any reason something came up and we weren't able to just continue, if it was like a just even a personal reason, one of us couldn't do it anymore, that we would have no hard feelings, that we would just, this is for fun anyway, and we just move on and keep you informed. So we have talked about how we came to this movie. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, you know what I'm in the mood for?
What are you in the mood for?
Oh, go ahead, push my buttons.
Sean Facts!
Sean Facts!
It's so satisfying to hear your own voice like that.
Well, I think all of this is production or information about some of the actors. So I'm probably just going to like cut this in half, and we will do half the Sean Facts right now, and then we'll just finish up at the end of the episode with some Sean Facts as well. Ooh, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, 1954. What are our guesses on the budget of this movie?
1954.
This was during the heyday of musicals back then. So I can't help but think that maybe it was given a bigger budget. And 1954, I want to say that may have even been like smack dab in the middle. So it wasn't like Hello Dolly, where it like cost like an extreme amount of money and it didn't make nearly as much back. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and say that we're just talking budget right now, right?
Right.
Okay.
And probably, yeah, money for the time.
And in money for the time. So we're not adjusting for inflation. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to say 30 million. It's a high amount for 1954, but this was during the heyday of musicals, so that's why I think they threw a lot of money at it.
I'm gonna lowball it. I feel like if it cost $3 million, I'd be surprised. I think that it probably is lower than that.
Dang, you're so good at this.
That is not the case. See any of our previous episodes.
$2.5 million is the budget. Ooh. Some of this actually was siphoned off to the production of Brigadoon, which the studio felt would be the better film.
Was it?
I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen Brigadoon either.
we'd have to do Brigadoon in order to get those numbers.
Oh, man.
So that was budget. What about box office, Lydia?
$30 million.
I think it probably $15 million.
$9.4 million.
So it made its money back
three times.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice. That's great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, based on the short story "The Sabin Women" by Stephen Vincent Benet, which was based in turn on the ancient Roman legend of the rape of the Sabin women. I want to say Sabin, and I think it's because of Power Rangers.
That just changes everything about Power Rangers in my mind.
Wait, say that one more time.
I want to say Sabin instead of Sabin.
I thought that's what it was. The Sabin women.
But the whole premise is that it's the Sabin women, like the adaptation of the rape of the Sabin women from Roman.
Yeah, but they use both words in the musical.
Yeah.
They go back and forth between Sabin and Sabin.
I don't understand why. I mean, if it's one thing, don't make a whole song about how it's mispronounced. But okay, we don't need to insert my opinions on
the
Sean
whole
facts.
The whole show is us inserting our opinions on all the things.
Save it for the podcast. Oh wait.
The wood chopping scene. Oh, this is probably the one scene comment here. But we can bring it up later. But the wood chopping scene in Lonesome Polecat was filmed in a single take.
Oh, wow.
And I will bring in the facts about the brothers here, and then I'll bring in the facts about the brides at the end. To perform the dance numbers and action sequences, choreographer Michael Kidd wanted dancers to portray all six of Adam Pontapee's brothers. Kidd said that he had to find a way to have these backwoods men dance without looking ridiculous. I have to base it all around activities you would accept from such people. It couldn't look like ballet, and it could only have been done by superbly trained dancers.
Oh, no. We wanted the manliest of pirouettes. I want you to serpentine, right? While snapping, but
Madonna.
I just have to be like, Madonna.
Okay, so I think these are in order of birth. Adam, who wore the light green shirt, Howard Keel, a professional singer, appeared as the eldest of the seven brothers. He also appeared as Petruchio in the film version of Kiss Me, Kate, and appeared in leading roles in other musical films, including Rosemarie and Showboat.
Oh, Kiss Me, Kate is amazing. We should watch that together sometime.
Benjamin, orange shirt. And I have to say, like, as far as attractiveness, I think Benjamin is probably what does it for me.
Agreed.
No, Adam, before he shaves.
Like the brawny sort of beard.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm gonna shack up with somebody in a flannel, they better have like an accompanying beard.
Okay, before we go any further, I've gotta know, like, who is our brother? Like, who's the if somebody like kidnapped you, who would you
okay, and I've thought about this. Okay. I really liked Gideon when I first watched it. Like, I thought he was the cute one, but I also always was assigned, like, as a child, the youngest member of a group, so like Joey from New Kids on the Block or Johnny, I forget which one's the youngest one, but like the youngest one generally. And so like I thought I had to like him, but watching it now, I'm like, he looks like a gremlin. So like fine, but he's got like this kind of like trickster Irish face. He could be a leprechaun. They all could, but like him specifically a leprechaun. And so I really do think it's Adam.
Mm-hmm. Who did the least amount of kidnapping, even though it was his idea? So he should be.
It was his idea.
All of my lines that I kept saying gross at in the watching
are
of this,
his. Are his. Oh, his. Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. that's the real clincher of it. Like, I have a feminist streak that's, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's there. And the fact that, like, I have a playlist on my phone called Boy Shit. And it's specifically because every, more often than I'd like to admit, I'm like,
Oh, go ahead and degrade me.
Like, yeah, like, what's wrong with me? Like, if I thought you meant it, I would be like all over you. But if you're just like, good little lady. It's so stupid. I know it's bad.
Yeah, he may have done the least amount of kidnapping, but he's still sort of the Charlie Manson of the group.
And I get it. I'm so sorry.
All right, Lydia.
Even when I was younger, it was always Ben for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't. And he's the one who doesn't dance at all.
Oh, so. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. What?
Okay, so frankincense.
Nice. That would have been my number two. Yeah, because his name is frankincense.
Okay. Okay.
Solely for his name. But I don't know. Is that the reason for you?
Oh, well, he seemed to be the most potentially gay, maybe? I don't know. You see, like when, I mean,
he's overly defensive about his name. He's like, why I oughta? And like when he raises his wrist to fight, they're a little flippity flappity.
Yeah.
A little swish swish on that.
Mm-hmm.
So, where are we? Benjamin. Did we already say Ben? No, we didn't say Benjamin yet. Jeff Richards was a former professional baseball player who topped out at the AAA level of the minor leagues. Although obviously athletic, he is noticeably in the background, seated or standing during the dance numbers so as to not expose his lesser dancing skills. Nice. Caleb, yellow shirt, Matt Maddox, a professional dancer, appeared on stage on Broadway and also danced in many Hollywood musical films. His singing voice for the film was dubbed by a person named Bill Lee. Daniel, in the mauve shirt, was played by Mark Platt, a professional dancer, danced the role of Calmer's Dream Curly in the original 1943 Broadway production of Oklahoma. He also had a dancing and speaking role in the 55 version film version of Oklahoma. Ephraim, a dark green shirt, is played by Jacques D'Ambrose, a principal dancer with New York City Ballet, was given special leave for the filming of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, although he was recalled before filming was completed. D'Ambrose works as a dance teacher for children was featured in the documentary film He Makes Me Feel Like Dancin', which won an Academy Award and Tony Award. All right, two more. Frank in the red shirt, Tommy Rahl, a professional dancer and singer, appeared on stage on Broadway and in many musical films. His roles included Bill Calhoun in Lucentio. In the film version of Kiss Me, Kate, he appeared in the film Funny Girl as the prince who partnered Barbara Streisand in a parody of the ballet Swan Lake. And finally, Gideon in the blue shirt was played by Russ Tamblyn, was cast in the role of the youngest brother, and Tamblyn showcased his gymnastics training throughout the action sequences. He also had a starring role in the musical West Side Story as Riff. As of 2021, following D'Ambrose's death, Tamblyn is the last surviving actor to play a brother. And
they're all dead?
Kind of reminds me when your grandma Shirley will talk about her siblings. She's like, you know, I don't have any problems with any of my siblings anymore because they're all dead. Sorry.
I mean, it does resolve a lot of conflict, you have to admit.
All right, I've got a few more bullets to even things out to make sure I'm not talking and talking at the end here. So it was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, and it won for Best Score. And as far as adaptations, in the 1968 and 1970 TV series Here Come the Brides, it was inspired by the movie Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. The 1978 stage musical Seven Brides for Seven Brothers is an adaptation of the film, which only with only four songs from the film, and the rest of the score consisted of new songs. The TV series Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, how can you make a whole TV series on this? Loosely based on the film, ran weekly on CBS from September 19th, 82 to March 23rd, 1983.
So
your birthday.
What? What? So as my mom reclined in her hospital room bed, like coddling little infant Naomi.
Oh, let's see what's on CBS.
I'm getting no sleep. Explains so much.
And there's a 1982 Bollywood film, Sat Pe Sata, 7 on 7. It was a remake.
I would kill to see this as a Bollywood musical.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
All right.
Oh, I want to do like a bad racist accent about that.
Don't.
Oh, no, I'm not. But like, could you imagine? Like that really like that dink a dink a dink noise that comes on like into a Bollywood musical.
How about you just watch RRR?
Okay.
Just how about you do that instead?
We come back from hiatus.
We come back for RRR. I mean,
it is like your
three out. It's your pick. I love that movie.
It's my pick.
It's Naomi.
It's, oh, yeah.
It's my pick next in 6 months.
You had Sailor Moon.
Yeah. So I will probably not do RRR. It's like over 3 hours.
I would never leave.
No. Maybe if I won the lotto, because then we wouldn't have to leave.
Man, we should get on winning the lotto.
Yeah. Find a bag of money on the side of the road that just has a note that says, Lydia, don't turn this into the police.
Ooh.
Just like funnel it into your bank account. Claim you have a business. Whoosh, whoosh. Sorry, I'm putting all this information out there and now the FBI is going to be able to figure it out. And I'm going to get arrested for fraud. Anyways, let's go to the movie.
I come visit you.
Oh, thank you.
Me too.
Can't get no sleep when you sleep. That's what I'll do when I go to prison. I'll just like do musical numbers. I got a lot in my head.
Have you seen that Catherine Tate show? What's it called, Jenny?
I don't remember what it's.
But I think I know what you're talking about.
Where she does all the characters in Lockup or whatever. Oh man,
I think it's called Locked Up, isn't it? No, maybe not.
I don't know. But we're not here to talk about hilarious women doing bits.
Right. We're here to talk about the Oregon Territory in 1850.
The head credits, I would like to note. Okay, so this is like Lionsgate, and then it's like CinemaScope, and then we cut, and then okay, we get titles. Mm-hmm. And I would just like it to be known that Johnny Mercer wrote the lyrics and that he needs to be held accountable, even though he's probably dead now.
I'm sorry. I'm really, I'm being greeted by a Wonder Boy. Over
like
here.
How? Is he like wiggling at you?
He's like, he's like right on the pillow. He wants to climb up the pillow to see me.
Because it's because he likes you. If y'all look over at Amos, you'll see his expression.
Oh shit!
Do you guys not see?
No, I can't see.
My tank brother is right there.
What if I just picked him up and turned him around? Oh, he's kind of turning around himself.
Put him on the pillow. A double dog dare you.
Was he getting on the pillow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was on the pillow.
Yeah, I don't. He doesn't really like soft things.
I feel that way about my misogyny. Don't be subtle with it.
Well, we're going to have some after we get through these opening credits.
Oh, fantastic. But okay, remember, Johnny Mercer.
Okay.
We're mad at him.
Grrrr.
Oregon Territory, 1850.
Yeah. And my first note, sexist shopping list.
Okay. Did you see the elevator eyes he gave that first chick he came across?
Yeah.
His head went up and down.
Which is hilarious because she was like half his size.
Yeah. All of them are half his size. He's ginormous.
Yeah. He's like a redwood.
truly is the reddest head in the leatheriest fringy outfit. You have to admit his beard is phenomenal.
Yeah. But it's still like, I don't know, I've seen better. I mean, it's not a bad beard, no. But I've seen better.
I love a beard on a redhead.
Mm-hmm. It's very Nordic. Meow, 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 meow.
Oh, applauders, if you hear us stop and pet a cat, that's what happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Howard Keel was 6'4".
So yeah, he towered over all of us.
So it makes sense why he would be your brother, because he's like...
Here's the problem, as you refer to them as my brother. Because what we're saying is... The dude I'd want to snog. Okay. Right? But when you say it's my brother, I think of Abraham, whom I love dearly, but I do not want to snog.
Okay. So it makes sense why Adam would be the guy you want to snog.
Yeah.
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 Because he's like 4 inches taller than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever kissed anybody taller than me. Not like that.
Yeah. But I've like kissed you on a stair that's higher than you. It would say.
Jen, for your birthday, I'll get you some platform boots.
No, I like my petite little woman. I like that. You're tiny. Hmm. I'm the redwood to you.
Jen is the Millie to your Adam.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a sexist piece of shit, and Jen is my petite, tiny ladybird.
Yeah. So the guy that we're talking about right now, this is the one of the main characters. His name is Adam. He has fringe. He's got this like super like frontier outfit, complete with like this leathery fringe that's just everywhere. And he goes into a store and he is trading in some stuff. Like $60 worth of stuff that I don't really remember because...
No, it's leather.
It's leather.
Or furs.
Yeah. And so he's like saying, well, I'll trade you for, you know, a plow and some lard. And you got a woman underneath that counter. And I'm like, gross.
I've come for a wife.
Yeah. Oh, and also like there's like copious amounts of calling women females in this movie. And it just is like, no,
We don't refer to the... Okay. And the reason, applauders, if you don't know, we don't refer to women as females. Females, because we are not scientifically classing them and turning them into lesser creatures,
right?
Which is something that really disturbs me when watching like police shows. And I'm like, that's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
A female, so you can shoot it and like document it, like put your data on it. No, I'm good. Put it away. For more about me ranting about female. Anything's go to any of our other episodes because mm-hmm. It's a frequent problem for me.
And so he's like, I'm gonna find me a woman, and
that, she needs to be pretty, fresh, and young.
Yeah, there's like four women who come into the store, and he's like, this is what I did with my time on our second viewing. I made a list of things that make me say gross. And the first thing is the one where you wouldn't have a wife under that counter, would you? And I'm like, no, gross. The second thing, which is in this exact same scene, he's specifically says, you're all pretty, fresh, and young. And I'm like, no.
No wives under here, but there is a prostitute doing something pretty nice to me.
Sex worker, honey.
Yes. I'm see?
Chad, are you feeling uncomfortable?
No.
Because feel free to move Wonder Boy whenever you need.
Okay, I'll just turn him around anytime it comes near. But he certainly does seem to make his way back over here quickly.
He really likes you.
He thinks you're pretty.
Fresh and young.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the problem is not that he finds these women attractive. The problem is that he's like objectifying them and minimizing their humanness. He is looking at a quantity, not a human.
He's looking at women in relationship to himself, i.e. he wants a woman who can be his wife, instead of realizing that these women are autonomous creatures who are allowed to make a choice. Because something that they mentioned in the scene is that there are there's five men to one woman. So you got to really work it. Basically, you got to work at being attractive.
Yeah, that's that's the only reason I think he lands Millie is because he's hot. Like, he certainly doesn't do anything worthy of, like, elevator eyes in his direction except for looking kind of good.
There are a couple of times where he does get a little, like, poetic.
I mean, we'll get there.
But my other note is this guy's Tinder profile will make me want to become a nun.
He's holding a fish. He's all like, uggos and fatties need not apply.
No cross-eyed females.
Ah, no! Oh, no.
So while this musical number is going on, he's like talking about all of the things that he doesn't want in a woman. And
he keeps starting to hit on them and they keep like going away.
Yeah, he hits on a mannequin at one point.
He turns to one girl and is like, you ever think about getting married? And dude behind him is like, on the other side of her, is like, yeah, have you ever thought about getting married? I never thought you'd ask. He like clock blocked himself.
It's pretty hilarious. Good.
I said clock.
You did. I wasn't sure if you meant to say clock and we're going to correct yourself, so I was prepping for you to correct yourself, but clock block works.
There you go. That's for you. Okay, so he spies who will come to know as Millie chopping wood, and she's doing the posture bad. She is like throwing herself over, like chopping wood. Nobody in this movie knows how to chop wood at
it's
all.
Almost like they're not part of the Oregon Territory in 1850.
But her form is particularly bad. And he's like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hubbada, hubbada, hubbada. Awooga.
And he finishes off. He finishes off the musical number by going inside to the saloon where Millie works as a cook.
I think they call it the inn, but it is a restaurant bar situation.
As soon as he goes in, you hear one of those bling, 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 like little musical instruments where it's just one string.
Oh, like very redneck sounding.
Yeah. So,
but they only could afford one string out there, and it was hard to come by. You had to kill the cat yourself or whatever. Cat strings, that's a thing.
Yeah, they would, it's like cat intestines. So glad we live in the future.
Okay, so he's all like, the guy's like, what can I get for you? He's like, just a second, I should have something to eat first, because she's ladling out stew. And
She's ladling out to this whole table full of guys, and she's just like, they're like talking about, oh, you're gonna marry me, right, Millie? And she was just sort of like, what would your wife say about that? And then Adam sits down, and as soon as Millie sees him, she like is ladling into a guy's lap.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, all right, Millie.
Yeah,
it's like if someone's hot, they're allowed to hurt you and not get mad about it. And she comes over to him and ladles like very thoughtfully into his bowl, and he's like, smells good enough to eat. And she's like, tastes pretty good, I'm told.
Yeah.
And then like she walks away, he takes a bite and he's like, good.
Yeah.
And then like she walks away, but she's like looking back at him, just like looking like moon-eyed is a phrase that should be in my notes more often than it is, because it's just over and over and over again. And then we're done with that scene.
And then she's milking a cow.
My notes say milking a cow is rude.
So I want to make a small note on the whole, like, for me, it feels so surface for someone to fall for somebody over just their cooking ability. But that's pretty much how we landed each other.
Yeah, Jen was planning on breaking up with me, but then I made her some spaghetti.
Yeah, but you guys had known each other like for more than a day, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there you go.
I made a comment on him approaching her while she was milking.
Yeah.
that's Amos going, ew. Yeah.
Saying you would make an utterly fantastic wife.
Boo. Sorry. I mean, if Sean would have laughed, he's probably laughing now.
I mean, I laughed. I thought that was a great pun.
So he leans over this cow. He's just like, look, here's how it would go down. I'd like say hi to you. In like 6 months, I'd ask for you to go for a walk with me. I might touch your hand. Why don't we skip that and get married? And she's all like,
he specifically says, I got to go back up and plow for the harvest, or like I got to plow the field for something. And I'm not going to be back down here for 10 months, which is kind of like BS because later on, you know, Millie comes down like a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, but he's like, you're not going to make me wait that long, are you? And I was like, look, if I have to make a decision right now, I'm going to have to say no. Also, my note was, don't fall for an average looking man, Millie, which you are allowed to hate me for that comment.
No, he does do that to himself in about one scene. So don't feel bad.
So I love the YouTube series Hell of a Boss. And there's a character in there named Millie. And so my next note was, she deserves a small musical loving imp.
I think of
Moxie.
I think of Millie and Moxie. Okay, so. I love Hell of a Boss. I am I'm a Blitzo who married a Stolis, but on more whimsical days, I think of us as Molly and Millie.
Yeah, I always like to
Moxie
say
Moxie and Millie.
I like to say that on my good days I'm a Moxie, on my bad days I'm a Blitz.
Yes, that's where we meet at our fellow Blitzness.
Yeah,
which again, like an absurdly bad character, but he's so. Like, I so much like me in my head. Like,
right. Like the self-destructive tendencies.
Yeah. He walks around and he's like, oh, f*** me. Like, that's me every day.
So we were talking about a 1950s musical.
A good Christian movie. It's what we're talking about right now. And you're talking about satanic imps.
Horny satanic imps. Get it right.
Are you sure that's not this movie?
Okay, all right. So she's like, sure, why not? Then he walks into a barber shop where he promptly shaves off his beard.
But not the mustache,
which I think would have been a mistake, but like it's still not great. He should have kept the beard. She liked you with the beard. Imagine. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't have an irrational feelings about this, but it is literally a thing for a dude to change his appearance without consulting his significant other first.
And she is essentially his SO at this point.
Yeah. They've just met. It is not a time for drastic changes, like getting married on the day you meet someone.
So what you're saying is this is when the science breaks down for you.
It really does. Like if Jen and I were getting married again, and like daydream about us renewing our vows, and like if I walked in and you had like a short bob without talking to me first, I would be, and I know that's that is a hypocrisy, because you've walked in and I've had like purple hair, right? Like you're very chill about it, but I'd be like, and we weren't going to discuss, like just terrible.
Yeah, I keep reading articles that like trans women can appear more effeminate by having bangs. And I'm like, resist,
Jen. Don't do it.
Resist.
Jen. No. Well, you got straight enough hair for it. I just don't think it would suit. We can pretend. We can get a little clip and see if it would work.
No, that little face app that I have.
Oh, it have to give you bangs?
Yeah, and it's not good. Okay. I'm glad I have that app because there's just so many things that I would try. I know what I would.
Yeah,
just fail.
I walked so you could run.
Sorry, we were supposed to be talking about a musical. This is the second tangent.
You thought I was mighty chauvinist. You thought I was mighty chauvinist before, but now I've shaved, so I'm obviously not that chauvinist pig anymore. Because I've only got a mustache.
But he's still like in a sweaty pimp leather suit. He must have smelled so bad. But then they find the preacher who apparently was taking care of Millie after her parents died. Does she have like a tragic backstory? And then he's all like, no. And then his daughter, Alice, is like, oh, it's so romantic. And he's like, are you set on this? And she goes, I am. And he's like, all right. He goes, actually, he's all like, okay. I'm thoroughly against this marriage. All right, I'll perform the ceremony. Do you? Yes, yes, yes.
And like Adam, we have conveniently left out the brothers.
Yes.
And first scene, Adam's like, it's just me and my brothers up there at the cabin. It'd be really good to have a wife who could cook and clean and do all those womeny things. And again, like, gross. But he does not bring it up to Millie at all.
And so they're doing a 12-mile journey, which has got to be like, in today's horse miles, 12 hours.
I mean, it's probably like the better part of
12 miles. 12 miles.
Yeah. So like, if you think a horse is like four times as fast, so maybe it's like 3 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I don't know. My maps app doesn't do horse miles.
I think, what is it? Like a horse and cart in D&D is like, you know, five times faster than if you're walking by foot.
It's not really roads either.
Right. So they can't go super fast.
And they have to go through a pass. So they're obviously gaining a lot of elevation,
mm-hmm.
we assume.
Man, right. Got to get up to where that snow is.
But right. She's waxing on. She's like...
After they get married, they head on up to mm-hmm. his cabin. And
she's like, I was thinking about it might be awfully lonely not working at the inn anymore, but I could stand to be a little lonely.
Yeah, I'm not going to have to cook and clean for all those men. It's such a good thing.
And then she sings about how much she doesn't want to be with all those people and how in love, because it's been 2 hours, I guess. And like, she's like, I can't fake the song sounds when I'm not actually watching it. It's really her
hills are of life with the fact that I'm with only one man here. Only one dude I have to put up with. And like, what's interesting is before this musical number, like, Adam is like, I might need to go ahead and kind of clarify some things.
Like, he leans in to tell her while she's picking her wedding bouquet of herb she's gonna make soup
saffron.
With
saffron. I don't know.
No, it's not saffron. Saffron's tiny flowers.
Okay.
Tiny flower stems. Stamens. Staples. Stamens. Sean, yell it to me on the factory floor. Okay, so
nail me.
Stamens. Yeah. They're called stamens. Okay. So he falls back and he just can't tell her. For whatever reason. So let's pull into the farm.
Yep. And as she gets down, she's looking around and is like, oh, this looks really nice. And then lo and behold, there's a brother right behind her. She's like, oh, okay.
Okay. This is where my notes go. She's so.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you say.
Yeah, I like after the introduction of all of these brothers showing up, I would have been like, I think I'm going to brave the wilderness rather than stay.
Yeah, he starts bringing out all these redheads and I'm like, that's too many redheads.
And you like redheads.
For a parent, yeah.
Yeah. And so, the introduction to the brothers is very much like, these are all of their names and they're all Bible names. And then there's Frank, and she's like, I don't remember a Frank in the Bible. It's like, oh, well, that was because he was called frankincense because it smelled so sweet, and he's real sensitive about his name. So he starts biting.
They all start brawling around her as Adam introduces her to her life of drudgery. He's all like, she's like, oh, it's really big and messy. And he's like, yeah, but now that you're here. And my notes go, ugh.
Thanks, Applauder, for joining us for part one of our review of 1954's musical classic, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. We've still got two parts left, and we've definitely got a lot more to discuss in our plot walkthrough, Sean Facts, and of course, our shocked and applaudable moments. Hey, this is your audio engineer and bride of a bride, Jen. As you've heard, we're taking a break for a while after this month's episode. If you're an official Applauder on Patreon, we'll be sending you some additional details shortly, with a thank you for all of the support you've given us over the nearly 5 years of this show. You've made our time together such a wonderful adventure. We'll return next week for part two of our review of this 50s musical comedy. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.